This is VPR News. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. The Democratic National Convention has seen a second night of rousing speeches and efforts to unify the party and rally around Hillary Clinton, now the official Democratic nominee for president and the first woman to ever hold that designation in U.S. history for a major political party. The moment was highlighted by her rival, Senator Bernie Sanders, moving to nominate Clinton after roll call voting at the DNC yesterday. In a tight race with Republican nominee Donald Trump, many political observers feel the followers of Bernie Sanders may ultimately decide Clinton's fate and can propel her to the White House if they can be persuaded to support Clinton in large enough numbers come November. I spoke with University of Vermont professor of politics and political behavior Garrison Nelson, who says there is a window there in part because of what he calls an unusually gracious speech made by Senator Sanders on the first night of the convention.
For Bernie, who's not been known to be a gracious loser back in the days when he was a Liberty Union candidate getting, 1-3% of the vote, but this time he was. And his speech, I thought, was very statesmanlike. And frankly, had it not been Donald Trump, I'm not sure it would have been quite as statesmanlike.
Are you saying that Bernie Sanders decided to be statesmanlike because he saw the larger picture here, and that if it had been an opponent he wasn't as committed to defeating, he may have been a little more angry?
For example, had it been John McCain, with whom Bernie has served in the Senate and actually worked with on committees, I don't think it would have been quite as dramatically positive as it was last night. Because I think Bernie could live with a John McCain presidency, quite frankly. But a Donald Trump presidency is a much different story.
Well, do you think his speech is going to turn those so-called Bernie or busters around? Because there are a lot of people who are saying, you know what, we don't even have to listen to Bernie. This is bigger than him now. We're still not going to support Hillary Clinton.
The hardcore, he's not going to turn them around. But then again, once again, there are people who are kind of root for defeat on this kind of fantasy that somehow by making conditions worse, you increase the consciousness of of the population. This is a standard Trotskyite argument, which is sort of always somewhat distressing. The pretty oppressed people are not going to vote for Trump because Trump's a bigot, but they may sit it out. And if they sit it out, they're going to cost, Hillary maybe 2 points. And 2 points might make the difference in a race this close.
I'm surprised to hear you say, though, that some of these folks won't vote for Trump unless we're hearing just isolated sound bites that are being put on the air to sort of titillate, if you will. We have heard some people saying that are Bernie Sanders supporters that, I'm going to go ahead and vote for Trump.
Well, obviously, those are people who weren't listening to Bernie Sanders' message or not listening to Donald Trump's message, which is xenophobia, white nationalism, quasi-fascism. I mean, the kind of, all the things that we've been labeling Donald Trump about the past year. Frankly, if these people want conditions to get worse, I guess that's what you do, you vote for Donald Trump. Talk about self-defeating. That is remarkably self-defeating in terms of their overall goals, in terms of bringing about change. Now, if they think that change is going to come about as a consequence of a Trump presidency, then they're truly delusional. Because Donald Trump is the kind of guy who would, I would say, Reichstag fire, if that has any resonance for you.
It does. I mean, that's a pretty serious thing to talk about when you're talking about the rise of Hitler in the 30s. I wonder, though, if Hillary Clinton has an opportunity in your mind to turn things around, because what's remarkable to me is how static her position seems to be among people. Those who are against her are dead set against her. Does she have an opportunity if she, let's say, hits a speech out of her park on Thursday night at the convention? Do you think she has the ability to get some of those Bernie holdouts onto her side?
First of all, she's not going to hit it out of the park. She does not have that capability. She's not a Barack Obama. She's not a Bill Clinton. She's not able to move people to that degree. Furthermore, she's been a part of our life for 25 years. I mean, she is a virtual constant presence in our life. And I think, quite frankly, that has been the major reason why Bernie was able to do so well. And we used to talk about Clinton fatigue. We fatigued about Hillary Clinton before she's even been sworn in. So that's basically, there is a cap to Hillary Clinton's reach that is insurmountable, quite frankly. I would say, the 30-35% would not vote for Hillary on a dare. Now the question is, can she get enough to get the 51-52% of the vote and, of course, Electoral College? The good news for her is that the Electoral College is tilted, is for the Democrats, because, of course, their strength in New England, in New York, California, the upper Midwest, those have been the solid Democratic states over the last six elections.
Maybe so, but we are hearing now, you know, and again, this is very early. Things are going to change between now and November, we would think. But we're hearing now that Donald Trump is ahead in the latest polls and that he seems to be doing very well in exactly those Rust Belt Midwestern states.
Again, never trust immediate post-convention polls. Immediate post-convention polls always have a bounce. Sometimes the bounce is big, sometimes the bounce is slight. So the question is, let a week pass, then look at the polls.
What about states like Pennsylvania, Ohio? Donald Trump's message does seem to be resonating there with a lot of folks who are, they called them Reagan Democrats back in the day. They seem to be very, very disenchanted with Hillary Clinton's message. Why is he doing so well there?
These are states that have been victimized by, you know, by the trade pacts, by the exporting of jobs elsewhere. And many of these are in industries that, you know, steel, coal, these extractive industries that have really, you know, fallen on hard times. You know, how much, you know, you cannot continue mining coal. It does get depleted. And once it's depleted, it's not coming back.
And yet Donald Trump says he'll bring those jobs back, and people seem to be warming to that message.
People's capacity to delude themselves is quite remarkable. No, they're not gonna be, you're not going to find new coal in the mines. He's not going to be able to do that. The reason that so many, once again, his major demographic is a white, male, uneducated. And these are people who's, don't mean too condescending, but these people's understanding of that particular reality is somewhat limited. And these are the people who've been bypassed as we move from an industrial society to sort of an intellectual society. And given the fact that there are more women in college today than men, and they're acquiring the skills, you know, for a more technological society, they're the ones getting the jobs. This is the rage.
Let me ask you this, though. In a results-oriented world, are those very same voters you're talking about more likely to vote than, let's say, young people who Hillary Clinton is going to need, minorities who Hillary Clinton is going to need, and maybe some of these Bernie supporters who she is going to need? Are they less likely to get out to the polls in November?
Well, there are two things to bear in mind. Young people have a dreadful voting track record, as we know. You know, they have the lowest turnout rate among age groups. That's why building an electoral movement around young people is very dangerous.
Let me ask you this, Professor Nelson, if you don't mind my getting a little personal with you. I understand that your daughter is a Bernie or bust supporter. Have you had discussions with her about whether or not she will ultimately come around to Hillary Clinton?
These are discussions we don't put on the table.
You don't talk about them at home?
The family has basically taken those discussions off the table because she's quite animated in her defense of Bernie.
And she doesn't care. I don't want to push this too far, but she doesn't care if her loyalty to Bernie results ultimately in a Donald Trump presidency.
Well, once again, I think it's not a case of a Donald Trump presidency. I think it's a case of continuing support Bernie and Bernie's message, if not necessarily Bernie. So I think I think Trump is not factoring into the equation. I think it's basically continued commitment to the ideas that Bernie generated.
What about those ideas that Bernie Sanders has generated? You know, what he has done here, we've been over this, is really truly remarkable. Nobody gave him a chance. He's changed the agenda. He's changed Democratic Party platform. Has what he's done here, despite not getting the nomination, has he succeeded in a way that will have long-lasting effects on the Democratic Party?
One would presume so. Now, Bernie will return to the Senate with a lot more influence and clout than he would have had a year ago, and will be undoubtedly asked to campaign for a number of senators by helping some candidates win in states where they might not otherwise win with the help of Bernie voters.
Well, I hate to make a prediction on something that's been so unpredictable so far, but how do you see it, read the tea leaves here? Who do you think's going to win?
Oh, it's scary. I think Trump can win. I don't think he will, but I think he can win. And the problem is, of course, is this cap on Hillary Clinton's popularity. There are people who would not vote for Hillary under any and all circumstances, and it's a very deep sentiment and will not be moved. So basically the Hillary team has to run as a team, that's, I think, the key, is that she has to run with a team, popular, widely diverse, but widely acceptable team, that that her presidency will be a collective one and not one wholly focused upon her.
Garrison Nelson, professor of politics and political behavior at the University of Vermont, thank you so much for taking the time.